Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. NFL season tonight. Packers in Chicago. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, live in LA, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. 1 hour from now, Greg Cosell stops by. NFL meat sandwich. Hope you're hungry. Cannot wait for tonight. Joy Taylor is joining me. Here we go.
Football's back.
You know, I looked at the schedule this morning. There's no dog games. I mean, even like San Francisco, Tampa at the end of last year was a dog. I can't wait to watch Jimmy Garoppolo.
It's a great game.
It's a great game.
You got to see Jameis Winston under Bruce Arians. There's a lot going on.
Jets, Bills. Can't wait to watch that one. So tonight we have the opener. I have a theory on life, Joy, and I'm going to throw this out there for everybody. Being prepared in life is way better than just making crap up. I like to be prepared. When I go out to dinner with my wife, if I do a show, if I have a meeting, I like to be kind of game plan, be prepared. That's how I roll. Brett Favre is talking about Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers' new coach, Matt LaFleur. Now, I think Matt and Aaron are going to work because I think they're both smart and they both have something to lose. They're both all in on it. So I think it'll work. I picked the Packers to win tonight and win their division. So I'm not some hater here. I think it's going to work because I think Aaron's smart. Matt LaFleur's smart. They both have something to lose here. So it's going to work. But Brett Favre was talking yesterday about that relationship, the Aaron-Matt one. And it's fascinating the word he uses here. Let's listen to it.
I'm very curious to see how LaFleur and Aaron get along as the season progresses. I would hope that LaFleur wouldn't handcuff Aaron too much. I know he said he's changing the offense, but you got to let him play and let him do his thing. And a lot of those things that he does are not in the playbook. And you do not want to take that away from him.
Brett Favre sees coaching as handcuffed. Tom Brady does not. Peyton Manning does not. Joe Montana did not. They have a lot more Super Bowls than Brett Favre. Brett Favre was harder to coach, often didn't listen. That's an interesting word. Brett Favre sees coaching as handcuffed. I do not. The great ones do not. I'll give you an example. I'm going to give you people on the left, quarterbacks, who are, I would say, ad-lib more. Off the playbook more. This is not an indictment of them as people, but they tend to be ad-libbers, strong-willed, do it my way. And then on the right side, for our television viewers, and I'll mention this for our radio viewers, I'll give you people that were with, had a strong coach, were in a system, were mostly occasional audibles, but more restrained. So on the left is Dan Marino, Favre, Big Ben, Aaron, Steve Young, and John Elway. Ad-libbers. Not to say they were all uncoachable, but less restraint. On the right is the more coachable, stronger personalities as coach, more willing to play within the system. Montana, Peyton, Aikman, Bradshaw, Brady, and Drew Brees. They have 3 times the Super Bowls. Yeah, being prepared is better than making crap up. You can win both ways. You will win more on the coachable, listen to Bill Walsh, Chuck Noll. I mean, Terry Bradshaw was a wild child out of the South, and he tells great stories. Like, Chuck Noll was just not tolerant of Terry Bradshaw. This is what we're going to do. We're going to power run and play defense. And Terry says, I wanted to win. I wanted to win Super Bowls. So I listened to my coach. And Terry's a big personality. I listened to my coach. Troy Aikman. I listened to my coach. That's not to say Troy and Terry don't ad lib, don't audible. But this idea that coaching is handcuffing, and this is where Aaron Rodgers falls into the, I'm going to make it up. Can I argue that Aaron Rodgers has the most talent of any quarterback in 15 years? Then why has he only been to the Super Bowl one time? It's not like he's had bad offensive lines. It's not like he's had like horrible general managers. Mike McCarthy was not a bad coach. So Bucky Brooks talked about this yesterday on the show, that sometimes there's the gift and the burden of talent. And the burden of talent is that when you are gifted, you are harder to coach.
Those guys can skip steps that other guys can't. And so it's hard for them to rein it back in because they've always been able to just play on their
high school, God-given college
talents. Yes. And so what you hope is that you play long enough where your athleticism carries you the first couple years, then your knowledge and your fundamentals allows you to build a long career. So you are right. Coachability comes easier for those who aren't A-level talents. Maybe when you're a lesser talent, you have a more willing ear to listen to what coaches are telling you.
And never forget this. Football's got a playbook. It's very disruptive to be part of an offense where you don't know what your quarterback's doing. Montana was easier to play with than Steve Young. Brady and Manning are easier to play with than the early Big Ben. By the way, Big Ben's first Super Bowl, he was a system quarterback. It was defense, special teams, run game. Big Ben won a Super Bowl early as coachable Big Ben. Since then, when he's been more ad-lib Big Ben, 15 years, won. Like, coaching's not handcuffing. Now, in the NBA, it's more player-driven. In baseball, it's more GM and pitcher-driven. But in football, listen to the coach. You have a playbook. It's hard to play with somebody making crap up. By the way, people tend to think a lot of stuff is made up. Robin Williams, the comedian, makes you think he's just making up that thing. The late Robin Williams, he knew what he was doing. Curb Your Enthusiasm is not ad-libbed. There's a show in Hollywood called Whose Line Is It Anyway? You ever seen that show? They have writers. You think they're just all brilliant? They've got teams of writers. Jimmy Fallon's got writers. Stephen Colbert's got writers. Letterman had writers. Leno had writers. Nobody's just making it up. They're making you think they're making it up. All right, so yesterday, Ezekiel Elliott signed a massive contract. And Zeke talked yesterday. He wants to be the highest paid. I've always felt with athletes, and I think they deserve this respect. If you are the best at something, then Michael Jordan for a long time was not the highest paid player in the NBA. And even though he was the richest NBA player and had the shoe deal, out of respect, Michael Jordan wanted to be the highest paid player. I get it. I totally get it. Zeke wants to be the highest paid running back. I get it. Deserves it. Here's what he said yesterday.
I was definitely really anxious, you know, because I definitely wanted to be here for the start of the season. But I'm happy it got done when it did, and I'm glad I was able to rejoin my teammates and, start the season with them.
Was it important for you to be the highest paid running back in football?
It was.
Why?
Because I believe I'm the best.
I don't have a problem with Zeke wanting to be the highest paid. I don't. I get it. LeBron should want to be the highest paid player. Mike Trout should want to be the highest paid baseball player. I don't have a problem with it. My problem here isn't the running back, it's the organization. We have in the NFL a guidebook on how to win the most games. And it's New England. And Dallas is actually now doing a lot of the things that New England does, the opposite. By the way, Philadelphia shares a lot of New England's philosophies. Trade picks, get better, O-line, D-line. Dallas is now the opposite of how Philadelphia is doing stuff. The opposite of how New England's doing stuff. In Dallas, it's pay all of our stars. In Dallas, Jerry gets emotionally loyal to players. In Dallas, the owner runs the football operation. In Dallas, we're going to go public with our big contracts all the time because it helps brand. And I think this is the downside to an owner, Jerry Jones, I like. I love Jerry the businessman. I really do. But too often with Dallas, they let their branding stuff and their football stuff converge and mush together. New England and Philadelphia don't. The Rams don't. Kansas City does not. The Colts are well run. The Chargers, they don't. They don't. They do in Dallas. They've become a little bit like the Lakers. where they're making decisions for basketball, but I think in those same rooms, they're really worried about how it lands for the brand. Every contract negotiation is discussed publicly. It's not the way you really do it. Let's pay all our stars. That's not the way you do it. Let's get emotionally loyal. That's not really the way you do it. Let's pay one star running back. That's not the way the good teams are doing it. So I don't blame Zeke for wanting to get paid. But Dallas, there are examples of how to win more in this league. This would be like being a stockbroker and having Warren Buffett and saying, I'm just going to go the opposite way. I don't believe in that. I've taken a lot of my business beliefs from Oprah and Howard Stern. I've looked at Oprah and Howard Stern. I've made calls to people who work with Oprah. And I'm like, oh, yeah, she's pretty smart about that. And then she went into that. And then Howard did this. And Howard went into that. Why wouldn't I use them? Like, they're the two richest people in the history of my business. Why wouldn't you follow Warren Buffett? Why wouldn't you watch what New England does? Like, is it arrogance? Is it vanity? To me, there's a guidebook on how to do this, and I think Dallas sometimes now is just doing the opposite. Don't blame the player. In this instance, the owner, I think he needs to recalibrate. I think Jerry needs to stop living in the 90s. You know, the Cowboys had the Aikman, the Emmett, the Irvin, and they keep trying to duplicate it. Okay, we're going to go Romo, DeMarco Murray, and Dez. And now we're going to go Dak and Zeke and Amari. And no. Aikman, Emmett, and Irvin, that's a once-in-a-franchise way to do it. You're never going to get another Troy Aikman with Emmett and with Michael Irvin. Amari Cooper's good. He's not Michael Irvin. Dak is good, not Troy Aikman. And Zeke, he may be as good at Emmett. But, like, you can't look into the 90s and go, well, we did it in the 90s. Those are three Hall of Famers. Here, I think you have one if he can, Zeke, stay out of trouble. Otherwise, you're going to have no Hall of Famers. Got an example of how to do it. It's New England. I'd start copying more often than not.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Let's give you the breaking news. It is not good for Antonio Brown. Vic Tafer of The Athletic covers the Raiders. Joy Taylor is joining me as well. Antonio Brown was unhappy about being fined. Had an exchange with Mike Mayock yesterday. That's the GM of the Raiders. He was held back by a couple of teammates, now facing a team suspension. Cuckoo! Albert Breer, who's always out in front of everything, says, if the Raiders suspend Antonio Brown for contract detrimental, which is pretty easy to prove now, they can default on all his guarantees. Doesn't get any of it. I said this during Herdline 30 minutes ago. You don't flaunt. You don't taunt management, even if you do win. Even if I signed a great contract, I don't flaunt it and taunt my management. I'm an employee. I'm a highly compensated one. Antonio Brown, you don't flaunt it. This is Antonio Brown's issue. He thought he was a big shot in Pittsburgh. They moved him to the most dysfunctional franchise not named Cleveland in the NFL for 15 years. The bosses control the employees in every business. Especially this one. And Antonio Brown, once these receivers go into the weeds, Ocho, T.O., it's hard to get them back. They've been empowered. They've been enriched. It's hard to get people who have gone in the weeds to have an intervention, bring them back to the course, bring them back to society. I would cut him. I'd get out of the Antonio Brown business. But I've said this for years. My personality is not built for interventions. It's not built for needy people. It's not built for high maintenance people. I'm not telling you how to think. I'm just telling you how I think. I'm not built for that. I could not be a producer in Hollywood and have 19 needy actors on the set. I'd be much happier being the general partner for an accounting firm where I know what I get. There's some ceilings on stuff, but I know what I get personality-wise from people every day. That's how I don't want chaos in my life. I got a good life. I don't want to wake up in the morning, have to worry about another man who can't control himself. Like, you're a grown-up. Stop it. I'm not into that stuff. I'm not a babysitter. And so I would get rid of Antonio Brown. Is he a very good player? Yes. He's a very good player. Nobody's disputing he's a very good player. But the Raiders also went out and got Terrell Williams in the offseason. They've addressed a lot of their offensive line issues. They've drafted defense. You know, Derek Carr is now healthy. John Gruden, you say what you want about Gruden, they played pretty well last year. You know, everybody was predicting they would bail on Gruden and quit, and they didn't quit. They played good. So, wow. Raiders could now get out of this thing and not have to pay Antonio Brown the guarantees. It's up to me. I'm not interested in this. It's not my cup of tea. I think he's worth half a point to a point a game. I'd rather have a better culture, better community. I also think it's disrespectful. If I ran a football team and I had 55 guys on my football team, if I am constantly having to babysit one of them, I think it's incredibly disrespectful to the other 54 men in that locker room. I think it's disrespectful. My job is, as a general manager, is to create an environment where everybody feels loved, everybody feels valuable. And once you start babysitting one guy, you're not paying attention to the other 54. I would get Antonio Brown out. With that, Greg Cosell, 40 years at NFL Films, quite a development. You know, it's interesting. I want to start with Antonio Brown. Now, we know he's a big play receiver, and we know going to the Raiders, he and Derek Carr would have had some success. How would you describe Antonio Brown as a game changer? Big Ben also, Greg, had 10 of his 16 interceptions throwing to Antonio Brown. How would you describe him as a player?
I think he's a top two or three receiver in the league. And then you have to decide the value of that to your given team and to the NFL game in general, because he's definitely that guy on Sundays. And I'm sure that's the way he thinks. He probably thinks he can do whatever he wants because he shows up on Sundays and plays ball. So it's your classic talent versus temperament issue, Colin, and every team deals with that differently.
Yeah, some won't, some will. Yeah.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's, you know, he's a great, great receiver. And, what is the value? You know, we've had this conversation about running backs in the NFL for the last number of years. Now, what's the value of a wide receiver, of a top three wide receiver in the NFL? Is that someone that is absolutely essential to you winning games, or do you believe that you can line up? And I'm not saying it's the difference between Antonio Brown and the 80th best receiver in the league, but you know, what's the difference between Antonio Brown and the 15th best receiver in the league when it comes to winning games on Sunday?
Yeah. So Antonio Brown going to be suspended by the Raiders. Well, speaking of that, Jadeveon Clowney goes to Seattle.
Yep.
And Jadeveon Clowney can be a disruptive player, can be a dynamic play guy. I don't get the consistency I love. There's been some injuries. So, you know, the assumption by fans is Jadeveon Clowney goes to Seattle. Man, that's going to be great. Let me ask you, does Jadeveon Clowney fit Seattle's system?
I think he will fit because they do some of the same kinds of things moving that player around that the Texans did. So Clowney not only will be a defensive end, he'll be what we call a joker and move around. He's not as good a pass rusher as Frank Clark. He's not as laterally explosive as Frank Clark. Clowney is powerful. He's powerful straight line, but he's not laterally explosive. You know, it's interesting the way they chose to use him in Houston, and they chose to use him that way because they understood his skill set and they understood that he's not a pure 4-3 edge rusher. You can't just line him up at D end and say, go get the quarterback. He hasn't shown that up to this point. That's what the tape shows, Colin. He's not that guy right now.
So he's a good player, but he may not have the Frank Clark impact is what you're saying.
He may not. No, Clark was a more, you know, laterally explosive player, a better pass rusher than Clowney.
Let's go to Deshaun Watson and the Texans. They get rid of Clowney. They bring in Laremy Tunsil. Now, he's a good tackle. He's not a top five tackle, I don't think, when I watch him. Will he make a big difference this year for Houston? Will it help Deshaun?
Well, he's not a top five tackle yet in terms of his play, but he's a top five tackle in terms of his physical trait. So they're hoping that with different coaching, maybe he responds, that he matures, because he certainly has traits. And what they're hoping is that he can match up to edge rushers on his side one-on-one, and then they can do other things to help with their O-line. But it's definitely an upgrade for them because he's very, very talented. You know, they're a better team. This is just the argument of short-term versus long-term, and it just depends on where you fall on that argument. The Texans are a far better team now than they were when the season ended. Now, for those GM types, they'll say, you know, that doesn't matter because now they've mortgaged their future. So it's simply a short-term, long-term argument.
Yeah, I like having the best quarterback, defensive lineman, left tackle, and wide receiver arguably in a division to start the season. That's why I like the move. Yeah. I think those are big positions to me.
I would agree. I mean, although it's interesting, I think the game's changed a little bit. You talk about pass rushers. I think the game's changed a little where interior pass rushers, I think, have far more value now in the game than they did years and years ago, where everybody just said that edge rusher was an absolute premium position. Not that you don't want a good edge pass rusher, but I think with quicker passing games, quarterbacks not taking as deep drops as they used to, I think that interior pass rushers have become increasingly important in today's game.
I was shocked yesterday. I like Jared Goff. I watched them a lot at Cal because I stay up late on Saturday nights and watch Pac-12 football, and he got the you-know-what beat out of him, and he took a bad program and made it pretty darn interesting by the end. I like his traits, his personality traits. I've said before, I think he's a more talented Matt Ryan in terms of arm talent. But yesterday when that contract came out, I was shocked. 75% of people are like, system guy, overrated. I mean, I watched them against Patrick Mahomes. I watched them against Minnesota's defense. I think he's really talented, and I think he's still growing and getting better. What say you on Jared Goff, his deal, and his style?
Well, first of all, I will say this, and I know what people mean by system guy, but every quarterback's a system guy because every team runs a system. What that I think means in people's minds is that he can only run the system when everything works. Now, he runs a very good system with Sean McVay. He's an easy thrower of the football. He was the next man up. At some point, they were going to have to pay Jared Goff. They weren't going to let him walk. So the numbers, to me, don't mean anything. You know, he's the next guy. And now Dak Prescott will probably get more, and we'll have the same conversation about what Dak Prescott is or isn't. So the numbers don't really matter. It's just the next man up, and they're not going to let him walk. And he's a very programmed player. He's a very mechanical player. And I don't mean either one of those two words in a negative fashion, because that's what he's asked to do within a really well-designed and well-schemed system.
Speaking of L.A., the Chargers host the Colts this weekend. I think their infrastructure is really good. It would not shock me if the Colts upset the Chargers. Derwin James is out. Russell Okung, offensive line issues. No Melvin Gordon. I think the Chargers are still a good team, although I think the special is gone. What do you expect from them?
I think the issue is their O-line. It had issues last year. Okung is out. I think they're starting a free agent at left tackle. So the O-line is a concern. Phillip Rivers obviously is a master at understanding what's going on before the snap, but still he's a relative statue. I don't think the loss of Gordon is that extreme. I think the O-line is the far bigger issue. And I think Derwin James is a big issue and will have an impact on how Gus Bradley structures his defense from a personnel standpoint.
So yeah, I'll say this now. I like the Colts this weekend. I like their O-line. Yeah. I like their infrastructure.
Well, and they've gotten a lot better on defense, too. You know, obviously people know they got Justin Houston, but DeNico Autry had a very good year last year playing both defensive tackle and defensive end.
Good stuff. All right, let's shift to the Cowboys, obviously. Zeke's in, signed a big contract. I think they're going to be a bubble playoff team just because I think the NFC is loaded, and I think the Eagles are a better franchise right now. I like the Eagles top to bottom. In terms of overall talent, if you just look at film, what you do, NFL films 40 years, and you look at all these players, it does feel like to me Dallas is a top 7-8 team talent-wise. Is that a reach?
No, I think you're probably correct about that. They've got a good O-line. Obviously, they've got Zeke. I think, you know, they've got a fairly good receiving core now that they have Cooper. I have no idea what Jason Witten will be at this point in his career. Defensively, they're pretty solid. They're a good defensive team. So I think they're a solid football team. You know, the question is... The question ultimately will be Dak Prescott, because there will be games where he's going to have to be the driving force in order for them to win. Because there will be games where teams do take away Zeke, maybe not 100%, but where Zeke can't dominate and control the pace and tempo of the game.
All right, now, your big play, Greg Cosell joins us every Thursday now for the next 4.5 months. Your big play involves the Packers, who open the season on the road tonight at Chicago. I think LaFleur, Aaron, I think it's going to work. I think they're both verbal. I think they have something to lose. I think they'll be committed, even if they have an imperfect relationship. Not only discuss that, but then take me into the play of the week.
Well, you make a really interesting point, because even though Aaron Rodgers is a great player and is considered great by most, you know, I think he's got a vested interest in this working because, you know, I think, you know, he lost a little of the luster with the whole thing with McCarthy, right or wrong. And he's got a vested interest in LaFleur being really successful and therefore him being really successful. You know, they opened last year against the Bears. They're going to open this year against the Bears. And the play I want to show is from that first game last year when he came back after the injury. And you'll get this because every team plays man-to-man coverage. So let's start with the play first and foremost. And this was a touchdown throw he made to Geronimo Allison, who's still one of the receivers that's there. And it's a ridiculous throw. But what happened here was pretty basic stuff. The Packers were in a 3-by-1 set, three receivers to the field to the bottom of the screen. And what the Bears played here is what we call cover one. It's man-to-man with a single high safety. Why that safety is cheated to the single receiver side, I don't know. Maybe it's Davante Adams who's the single receiver. But this is the matchup you're looking at. Geronimo Allison, Kyle Fuller. Now, what Rodgers does here is really, really good because what he does when he drops back is he's going to look to his left. And he's looking at Davante Adams, his number one guy. But the reason this is so critical is it gets that safety moving in that direction. Now, he's on that hash anyway, but he moves in that direction. So what that does is it just gives you a one-on-one on the outside with Allison versus Fuller. And this game is about matchups, and this is just a ridiculous throw. These are the kinds of Aaron Rodgers throws that just get people excited every single week. And you can just see it again here where the safety is and how he'll move, and you get the one-on-one matchup. You could even argue Rodgers is a tad late with this throw, but he's such a great, great throw over the football that it's just a big play touchdown.
And by the way, it's classic manipulation of eyes and hips.
Yep.
That's what safeties read. All I need you as a safety is just to make a move, as you noted, a step or two. Then I know you can't move your hips and catch up to the right side of the field. Greg Cosell, NFL Films, 40 years doing it. Can't wait for tonight. Great talking to you, Greg.
Thanks, Colin. Appreciate it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
We got breaking news today, Joy. Right, 15 minutes into our show, maybe about 30 minutes, the Raiders are considering suspending Antonio Brown after flaunting and taunting the organization on Instagram last couple of days. Mike Mayock and Antonio Brown, Mayock the GM, Brown the star receiver, had a shouting match at practice. Vontaze Burfict had to intercept it, hold back the player. John Gruden may very well want to play him. My takeaway has been this is not a Super Bowl team. You have to now protect the team, protect the culture, protect the other more grown-up players. You know, listen, it's some people, you know, I'm not built for any of this stuff. I'm not interested in this nonsense. I think Pittsburgh is laughing. I predicted Pittsburgh would laugh. They are. I predicted Oakland would be a mess. It is. I'm not into being right. I'm into getting it right. This is when wide receivers are high maintenance and very dramatic. Once they go into the weeds, you can almost never get them back into the fairway. They're artists. They're expressive. It's their personality. It's who Odell Beckham was. Once Odell went into the weeds, Giants couldn't get him back. Once T.O. went into the weeds in Philly, you couldn't get him back. Randy Moss got on the fairway in New England, then went into the weeds. They couldn't get him back. I look at this and I say to myself, it's time to cut him. My belief is now you got to save the culture. Because I do think John Gruden, at the end of the year, I thought the Raiders played very hard for John Gruden. I also don't think this is an employee, Antonio Brown, that takes you from outhouse to the penthouse. He's not taking you from 6 wins to 14. If the Raiders were the Chiefs, then you're in a situation where, oh, my Lord, now that's not the situation here. You know, one of the reasons I think the Steelers let him go is they're so good at developing receivers, number one, and number two, they had Juju Smith-Schuster. So the Steelers looked at it and thought, you know, we have this emerging kid who's good. They drafted James Washington, who was good, and they're good at developing him. They're like, otherwise, Pittsburgh, I think, may have been in a situation they would have kept him again. But Pittsburgh's like, we got good receivers, we developed good receivers, but even Pittsburgh let him go, and that's a team that can win the Super Bowl. Raiders aren't even in that class yet. They have the strangest fan base in the country. Brown fans can acknowledge we're a mess. Raider fans get angry with the media when we say the truth, which is for 15 years, outside of the Browns, you've been the NFL's biggest laughingstock. So let's bring in TJ Hushmanzada, played in the NFL for a long time and also had the opportunity to play with Ocho Cinco, Chad Johnson, and who had some Antonio Brown abilities and Antonio Brown personality issues. First of all, let's address AB. You run the Raiders today. You're Mike Mayock. This morning, what do you do?
He got to go. He got to go. We dealt with the helmet thing. Once we thought that was done, it comes back again. Okay, we're going to support you publicly, but privately we were pissed off. And now this, we fine you. And that's what it was about. He got fined, so he probably approached Mayock. And Mayock doesn't seem like he's a punk. And so he probably approached him, and Mike responded how he responded, and AB didn't like it, and he said what he said. But he has to go because there's guys on the team that have that AB quality in them that they have it in them. And if you don't punish him and make an example out of him, if they ever become a player, that's going to come out because I saw him do it and y'all did nothing about it. So y'all damn sure not going to do anything about it when I do it.
It's amazing. Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper don't really have that in them. They let that go. And this has been one of my primary issues. Joy and I have talked about this with the Raiders. That when you make moves as a company, you send messages to your employees. So they let Khalil Mack and Amari go. Stars and good guys. All right. And then you drafted what you called high-quality character guys. Okay. Then you get Richie Incognito, Vontaze Burfict, and A.B. So the messaging to me as a Raider is, wait a minute, I thought we were A, and now we're B. The Patriots always send the same message. None of you will be treated like stars, ever.
It's because Brady buys into, right. He's the ultimate team guy. He's the ultimate. Tom Brady is the best player with no ego the NFL has seen. And he has an ego, but he checks it at the door. Everybody does. I wouldn't even put Vontaze Burfict in it. He's had mishaps during the game. You don't hear Vontaze Burfict getting into it with his teammates, getting into it with coaches. His stuff is just suspensions from hitting guys, not abiding by the rules on the field.
Right.
He hasn't had problems with teammates like AB had with Ben and Juju. So it's a completely – Vontaze Burfict is the one that calmed him down, that grabbed him and said, okay, stop, bruh.
So you would let him go?
Oh, let him go in a – like, I don't – planning on suspending him, they should have just put the word out. He's suspended, period. I'm getting out the contract. They bought low. It didn't work.
See, that was my argument. Just admit you made a mistake. Like, coaches have to admit sometimes, oh, I whiffed on that. I made a mistake.
And could they possibly get out the guaranteed money they
yes,
own?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Now, when you played with Ocho, take me into the locker room. You were a very talented team. Ocho was, like AB, a dynamic vertical player and could be very dramatic. I don't know if he was disruptive. Go back to your career with Ocho.
I know Chaz so well, so I don't look at it as being disruptive. That's just who he was.
You played with him in college.
Yeah, he just – Chad is very nice to everybody, super competitive, works extremely hard. But when things didn't go his way or he didn't like certain things, he acted out. But it wasn't – I didn't look at it as like, oh, my God, they got to get rid of him. It was just like, oh, Chad, he'll calm down in a minute. And a lot of it was me and Chad roomed together in college and in the pros every home game, every road game. And so it was like my responsibility. Come on, Chad, we got a meeting.
Okay, so you were kind of not a chaperone.
Pretty much, yeah. I was.
By the way, the Cowboys did this. Tim Tebow did that with the late Aaron Hernandez in Florida. Urban Meyer, remember that was that story that he kind of, by the way, Dez Bryant in Dallas, they gave him with teammates they thought would be adult and could, you know, you were the adult in the room with Ocho.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not just, like I had, everybody gets upset with coaches. We're all men here. But how do you handle it? You might lash out here and there, but you can't lash out all the time. Every little thing can't be a problem. Like, okay, you made a helmet a big deal. You got fined like every – I've heard he was showing up to meetings late. And so when you get fined, it is what it is. See, that's – like when Chad would get fined, it would just be like whatever. Chad wouldn't lash out at this. It would be like – he might be mad, but he – oh, they fined me, all right. And it is what it is.
All right. So, as this story continues.
Planning. We're planning on either you're going to suspend him or you're not.
Well, the feeling is Mayock, you know, let's face it. The Raiders now, Antonio Brown's agent's probably talking to reporters for him. AB's talking to reporters. Everybody's protecting their arse on this. So Mike Mayock may have told somebody, we're going to plan on suspending him. Gruden may be like, I don't want you
to. I want to win these games.
I want to win games. So, you know, that they're either way, it's not a place you want to be 3 days before the opening season. It's a mess.
And he hasn't practiced much. No.
So tonight, the Packers at Chicago. I think it's going to work. I think Green Bay is going to win. I think Aaron and Matt LaFleur are going to be good. I think it's the best defense Aaron's had in years. What are your expectations? And one of the reasons I think it works, TJ Hushmanzada joining us, because Aaron's got stuff to lose and Matt LaFleur's got stuff to lose. And when people are both invested, there's an old saying, TJ, about money. Never invest in a company unless everybody's got their own money in it. So don't go into a company with a kid who's got a rich dad. Because that's not his money. You want to invest in companies where everybody's skin is in the game.
We're all invested.
We're all, like the rich kid comes out, well, my dad gave me, no. You got nothing to lose. That's dad's money. So I think Aaron's got a lot to lose here. His reputation took a hit. And I think Matt LaFleur bombs. They're going to be like, you can't win with Aaron Rodgers. So I think it works. Do you?
I believe it works as well. It's Aaron Rodgers. He's one of the best quarterbacks to ever play. And you got to take into account, Vic Fangio's gone. He's a head coach at Denver Broncos. Chuck Pagano comes in. He's going to add his wrinkles to it. And are his wrinkles going to be better or worse than what Fangio was running last year? Chicago was – they literally were winning games defensively last year. Will that remain the same? Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. Devontae Adams is one of the best receivers in the league. He's not going to have – great quarterbacks don't have two bad years in a row. He's going to turn it on this year, and I think the Packers is going to roll this year. Not they'll win tonight.
Okay, a story came out this morning that I don't like. So I am a believer that quarterbacks have to have one thing. They don't have to be big. They don't have to be strong. They don't have to be athletic. They don't all have to have great arms. They all have to be verbal. It's a communication position that – Marcus Mariota came out in the NFL. I did a 14-minute interview with him at the other place. We could use 4 minutes. He was so shy. And I remember telling my producer at the time, this is not going to work. You have to talk. Constantly communicate with your receivers. Kyler Murray's story comes out. He doesn't communicate. He doesn't talk. He's just good with everything. And I'm like, okay, that doesn't work in the history of my life. Peyton Manning was talking. Now, by the way, Baker Mayfield talks too much. Aaron talks and condescending. Big Ben talks too much, but they talk.
You'd rather talk too much than don't talk at all?
Kyler Murray, by the way, this was the knock on Jay Cutler, TJ, from people inside the Bears. He didn't communicate with players. He was moody. He would just turn guys out for days on end. Jay was a huge talent. He didn't communicate well. If you watch his reality show, he's an odd bird. I hear this about Kyler Murray. You teach high school football. Non-verbal quarterbacks crushing it?
Well, you're going to laugh at this. Being up here at this show, listening to you, and then being around Jordan Palmer, I tell quarterbacks all the time, lead. You see anybody that's at school that looks like he's just looking for a friend, you be his friend, because once you're his friend, everybody's going to be his friend. Be a shoulder, be a friend of people that want friends, and that's what you do. Now, I read what Kingsbury said, and I didn't take it as Kyler Murray wasn't talking. Kingsbury said, I ask him what plays he doesn't like. He says, I like all of them. And so is it just his way of saying everything you have in a game plan, I'm going to make it work. I didn't take it as he's not talking, because I've no players up there that said they go over the offense and he kind of helps them through it because he's been in it somewhat. Kingsbury was like, it's like pulling teeth to get him to say he doesn't like a play.
Did you watch the Dan Patrick interview with him, though?
Was that prior to the combine?
I'll just watch this interview.
And
Dan's a good interviewer. It's painful. Watch.
Okay.
Are you going to the combine?
I don't know.
Dad, is he going to the combine?
Wow. No comment.
Dad had no comment there. Pro day?
I mean, that's after the combine.
Yeah, are you going to do a pro day? Yeah?
I'm sorry, TJ.
Yeah.
That's not franchise NFL stuff.
We'll see. Yeah.
Now, Was this – now, I'm trying to defend him, but I'm having a hard time here. Now, was this prior to him saying, I'm leaving baseball behind? Because that looked like, to me, we have an idea we're leaving baseball behind, but we haven't told the Oakland Athletics that we're leaving baseball behind. And so we're trying to play coy because we haven't disclosed this to them. That's how I took that. Now, that didn't look good. Don't – if you're – it's an interview. If you're not going to talk, just say, I'm not going to do an interview. Sorry, I can't do it.
Oh,
but
yeah,
if you're
no.
going to get on there and act like that, just don't do it. I hope it was because he hadn't told the Oakland Athletics, I'm leaving baseball behind.
That is hard to watch, though.
Yeah, it was like Dan Patrick, like, what do you do? You can't do anything. He just wouldn't talk.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw that story this morning.
When the dad said no comment, that led me to believe it was we hadn't told baseball we were done with baseball.
All right, maybe that's it.
Who knows? Hopefully, hey, hopefully he's going to get relayed this from you, and he'll open up and change. You have to. You have to communicate. You're a leader.
Greg Jennings told me earlier, like, there'd be games where he didn't get a lot of looks from Aaron Rodgers because of the coverage, and Aaron would come up to him after the game and say, hey, I'm aware I didn't get you. So Greg would be engaged during the next week of practice, because if you don't talk, you know, Peyton Manning's great at this. Like, Peyton would go to the sidelines, and Brady does this. He's constantly communicating. You know, you're rallying the troops. It's a different position. I don't need Mike Trout to talk or Kawhi Leonard to talk. I need my quarterback to talk.
You have to be verbal. You have to – you just have to. That's the position. I mean, you have to know what everybody's doing. So if you see somebody's messing up, you have to be able to communicate with them. You have to have nonverbal communication. I don't see him being a lifelong quarterback, playing at Oklahoma, being in the same meeting room as Baker Mayfield. Lincoln Riley looked like he's a quarterback whisperer. I just don't see that being the case, but time will tell.
All right, TJ Hushmanzada, NFL season opens tonight. I'll take the Packers. What say you?
I got the Packers as well. I think the Packers are going to win the division this year.
So do I.
Great quarterbacks don't have two bad years in a row.
Good seeing you, bud.
Thank you.